the Lord. So today is Home and Life Center, and it's a wonderful thing to belong to one of the homes. It's a blessing. It's truly a blessing. You are blessed when you are the one teaching, and you're also blessed when you go, because there's so much that is being done anywhere believers gather in the name of Jesus. He is there, and he's there with abundance of blessings. So the theme for the Home and Life Center is, that's the mission statement, is build leaders and make disciples through soul winning, Bible study, prayer, and caring. So in the course of being part of the Home and Life Center, you're being built up as a leader. First of all, you've been won as a believer. You've given your life to Jesus. It could be your children. It could be maybe from the church, you got born again, or through outreach, you got born again. However you got born again, then you begin the process of growth. And then that comes through Bible study and prayers, and then caring for you, nurturing you to be the leader that the Father has made you to be. The leader mustn't be you have to stand here preaching. It could be like our brother shared with us, you are influencing other people around you. Whether you know it or not, you like it or not, your life is speaking volumes to people around you. There is something that you are ministering to people around you. And that's why, like he said, you really, really have to be mindful of the fact that you are a child of God, that you're called to model him so that you leave a great legacy for not only your family members, but for people that will help them to be all that the Father has destined for their lives. One prayer I pray for myself is that, Father, help me to be all that you have destined for my life, and help me not to stand on anybody's way from being all that you have destined for that person's life. Help me to be an enhancement to anyone being what you have destined for their lives. And that means I have to be watchful of the way I live. And the only way I can do so very effectively is by looking unto Jesus, who is my model. Because so as I'm looking unto him and I'm following his footsteps, I am sure I'm doing it right. That whoever is following me or copying anything from me, it would be like Paul said, follow me as I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So that's part of, you know, what they gave us as our theme for this Home and Life Center week, which is living to please our neighbor. Let's all say it, living to please our neighbor. Our text is from Romans chapter 15, verse 2. Romans 15, verse 2. It says, let's read it together. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. Each of us. That means not just collectively, but as an individual, you're called to please your neighbor for his good. That is to be an enhancement positively for God's glory to your neighbor. You know, child development takes a lot. There's no one that gives birth to a child and one moment you put into that child everything that a child needs to be a human being or to live successfully as a human being. It's a process. It takes a lot. And so also goes spiritual development. It's a process and it takes a lot. And God gave us things to flourish in life, to help us to be all that he has destined for our lives. And those things come by his wisdom. And this wisdom is spiritually discerned. And the Holy Spirit is given to us to help us to be able to spiritually understand this wisdom and apply this wisdom on a day-to-day basis for our own benefit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 6, 7, and then 12, 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, chapter 2. He said, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. We speak wisdom. There's a wisdom that they are speaking, and say, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of whom? The wisdom of whom? The wisdom of God. That's the winning wisdom. That is the wisdom that will enable you to flourish in life. And it says the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. They have already been freely given to us, but we need to know them. All that the coming to church does to you is unveiling to you all that has been given to you in Christ Jesus, if you are a child of God. Verse 13, these things we also speak, not in wisdoms which man's wisdom teaches. You don't get this wisdom by human wisdom. He said, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So the wisdom of God cannot be taught by human wisdom. You cannot understand it by your own natural, human wisdom. It has to be taught to you by the Spirit of God. And that's why God gave us his Spirit, that we might know and understand these things that have been given to us. And this wisdom, the Bible told us, is the principal thing, is the clincher. Proverbs chapter 4, 7 to 9. Let's look at it. Proverbs 4, 7 to 9. Let's read it together. Ready, go. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. It's not just enough for you to know this wisdom, you have to understand it. Verse 8, let's read. Exalt her, and she will do what? Promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. Verse 9, she will place an ornament, or she will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. That's the wisdom that God gives you. Everything you need is packaged in this wisdom, and God delivered it to you. And it is meant to be for your exaltation, for your promotion, for your honor. That is if you will embrace this wisdom. He says she will place on your head an ornament of grace. He said crown of glory she will deliver to you. That is the wisdom that God packaged and gave to you. But the Holy Spirit helps you to unveil this wisdom for your advantage. So we live successfully in life by living a life that is totally dependent upon this wisdom, as the Spirit of God keeps unveiling them to us. A life of total dependence. Jeremiah chapter 10, 23, let's read it. Jeremiah, ready, go. I know, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It's not a man who walks to direct his steps. God didn't design you to direct your steps. Remember, if you're a child of God, you're a citizen of heaven. You are just living here. This place is not your home. Your home is heaven. So you receive instruction from your home base. You get your instruction from home base. And that's why he told you, you can't direct your steps here, because this is not your home base. You have to get instruction from heaven. So it is not a man that lives to direct his steps. And that's why the Bible said, trust in the Lord. With how many of your heart? Your mind, will, and your emotion must have to be totally submitted to him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean onto your own understanding. He said, in how many of your ways? In all your ways. Acknowledge him, and what will he do? He will direct your path. There's a way that seems right unto a man, according to Proverbs 16:25, but it says that the end of it is the way of death. And God knows that you don't have a strong understanding of the world where you are. There might be ways that this is the perfect way, it seems right, or maybe everybody else is towing that line, but God knows that is the way of death. Because remember, he's the beginning, the middle, the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega, and he's all-knowing. I read something about George Muller, one man that lived about 1,800 years ago, in the 1800s. He took care of about 5 orphanages and had taken care of about 10,000 orphans. This man wrote something like this. He said, you know, that every day he would set aside time to study the scriptures until his inner man was happy in the Lord, because he understands that it is not a man that lives to direct his steps. He would set aside time to study the scriptures until his inner man was happy in the Lord. He said one day he met a man who worked between 14 to 16 hours a day. And he told this man, "You are destroying your health. You don't have time for your family. And most importantly, you don't have time to nourish your inner man with the word of God." And this is what the man answered to him. He said, "I hear you, but I can't see how I can cut down my working hours and spend time in the world, because even with the 14 to 16 hours I put in a day, I still can't put enough bread on the table for my family." You understand the story? And then, you know, and he answered, George Mueller said, he doesn't believe that if he gives time to God's word first, God will take care of his needs. Doesn't that look like what Jesus told Martha? That one thing is needful. He said, and Mary has chosen that important part, and nothing and no one can take it away from him. Revelation from the word. That revelation is understanding of the wisdom of God. That's the winning wisdom that will flourish you in life. So when you take time to sit and listen to God's word, as you know, thank God for this church. They made it so very simple by you having different avenues where you can share and understand this thing so that you really grasp this wisdom. Remember, he said that in all your getting of this wisdom, get understanding so that you will understand it to your own benefit, so that you'll be able to apply it for your own good. So we have different avenues, and Home and Life Center is one place where you could come in the comfort of one's home and sitting together, and you just deliberate on issues that will help you so that you will flourish in this life that God has given you. The Bible said that this wisdom comes from the mouth of God. Proverbs 2 verse 6 says, "For the Lord gives skillful and godly wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." This wisdom comes through the mouth of God. Let's read verse 7. Verse 7, ready, go. "He hides away sound and godly wisdom and stores it for the righteous, those who are upright in right standing with him. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly and in integrity." So God hides this wisdom. He stores it for the righteous. Who are the righteous? As many as have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are in right standing with the Father. So this wisdom is for you. But God stores it. But thank God that, like the Bible said in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2, let's read it together. Ready, go. "It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the glory of kings is to search out a thing." Amen? He said the glory of kings is to search out a thing. How many of us are kings? If you know you are a king, lift up your hands. Amen. Praise the Lord, because he has made us kings and priests to our God, according to Revelation chapter 5 verse 10. We are kings and priests to our Father. So it is the glory of kings to do what? To search it out. And one of the things we do as the center is what? We search the scriptures. We break it in ABC manner. Thank God for our leaders, the Nwobos. They do these things in such a way that even babies can understand it. It takes the kings. The unbelievers cannot search it out because they don't have the spirit to discern it. Remember we said that it is spiritually discerned. It's only the believers that have the spirit of Christ in them to be able to understand the scriptures. The unbelievers don't have it. So, but it is the glory of kings to search out this wisdom. So as kings of God, we should be actively engaged in searching out those things that God has stored for the righteous, because it's taught for the righteous, not for the unrighteous. Amen? Jesus is the power and the wisdom of God. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 20, 24, 30. The Bible said, but to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So when we are talking about the wisdom of God, we are talking about Jesus Christ. He is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So when you're searching scriptures, it's telling you all about Jesus. And the Bible made us to understand in verse 13, but it is from him that we are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God. Christ, the power of God. You need the power of God in your issues, in your situations. Christ, the wisdom of God. So, and Jesus Christ is your wisdom. So as you're searching scriptures, you are understanding more and more about him. You are understanding more and more about, because understanding about him is understanding, helping you to excel in life. Because therein lies your huge success when you get to know Jesus. Reason, because in Revelation chapter 1, I'm going to read from verse 5 to 8. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 to 8. Verse 5 says, and from Jesus, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, verse 6, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to our God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Verse 8. Let's read verse 8 together. Ready? Oh, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Hallelujah. So, this Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega. So, when you get to understand him, you understand the nitty-gritties about life. You understand the nitty-gritties about how to excel in every aspect of life. Whatever it is, you are able to handle it because you're going by your wisdom, because Jesus is your wisdom. And Colossians 3 verse 4 says that when Christ, who is our life, so Jesus is your wisdom. So if Jesus is the wisdom of God to me and he's my life, I get to spend time to know him, who is my life. Amen? I have to spend time to know him. And the Bible said again in Revelation chapter 19 verse 13 that it said, he is dressed in a robe dyed by dipping in blood, and the title by which he is called is the Word of God. So Jesus is the Word of God. So Jesus is my wisdom, he's my life, and he is the Word of God. So I have to really spend time studying about him. So when it calls to going for the centers, I have to be there because I need to really get to understand my life, and Jesus is my life. The Bible said in Acts chapter 17, verse 28, for in him we live and move and exist. My existence is him. My very existence is Jesus Christ. So, I really need to get to know him. Whatever it takes to know him, I have to get there. You say, in the word Christ, we live and move and have our being. That's what Acts chapter 17, verse 28 said. And the Bible said that all our blessings are packaged and put in Christ Jesus and Christ Jesus in us. All our blessings are packaged in Christ and Christ Jesus in us. And the Bible said Christ in us. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, Christ in me, that are born again, the hope of glory. The hope of your ever saying in every situation, wow, praise the Lord, glory to God, Christ in you. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret, Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. Christ lives in you. This gives you the assurance of sharing his glory. Let's look at Colossians chapter 2, 9 and 10. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. I'm not seeing my time. I hope I... He said, For in Christ lives, let's read it together, ready, go. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. 10. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. In Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body, in Jesus Christ. So he said, in him, Christ Jesus, lives all the fullness of God, everything that made God God. Everything that made God God is all in Christ Jesus. And Christ Jesus lives in me, lives in you. Because of my union with him, it means that I am good to go, which means I am complete in him. So when the Bible says in 1 John 4, for the greater one lives in you, you don't have to be afraid of anything if you really know who lives in you and who you are in him. I just brought this to just give us a little example. When he says that everything that makes God God, assuming this is everything that makes God God, all the power of God, the mightiness of God, the Bible said they are all in Christ, in human body. And he said that Christ lives in you. So when you look at yourself, you think you're nothing. That's why there's a song that we sing, which means don't get near a lion, even if it appears as if it's there. You might be looking at yourself as this. But in studying, you will be able to understand the wisdom that is embedded in you, the Christ in you, that is the whole hope of glory. And anywhere you are, he's there. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Yes, we said that we are in him. It's all together because we are in union with him. But what I'm trying to bring out is the fact that everything that makes God God is in you, child of God, because it's all in Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus is in you. So if that is the case, the gathering to study, to understand these things, you make yourselves available to that. Because the better how rooted you are in him, in your understanding of this wisdom of God, is how better you flourish in life. Amen? Praise the Lord. We sing a song, my life is not my own, to you I belong, I give myself to you. You must understand that your life is not your own. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the funny thing is that you cannot cram to know God. You can't cram to know or understand this wisdom. It's a progressive thing. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3, 18, ready, go. And all of us, as with unveiled face, why is the face unveiled? Because we have received the Spirit of Christ to help us to discern the things that have been given to us. So we have the unveiled face. The unbelievers don't have it. They still have a veil over them. And all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the word of God as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are constantly being transfigured. We are what? Constantly. So each time we gather like we are here today, as we are fellowshipping with the word of God, something, there's an understanding that is taking place in you. As we gather at our center, there's an understanding that is taking place in you. Say, we are constantly being transfigured into his very own image in ever-increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Remember I told you that you can't born a child and put in the child everything that a child needs to be a human being. It doesn't happen. It's a progressive thing. In the same manner, spiritually, it's also a progressive thing. And that's what he's telling us. As you continue to behold in the mirror, because you continued to behold in the word of God, remember Christ, the word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, Christ, the glory of the Lord, you are constantly being transfigured into his very own image. Whose very own image? Into the image of Christ, who is your life. Amen? Let's look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. 1 John 5, 20. Let's read it together. Ready, go. And we have seen and know positively that the Son of God has actually come to this world and has given us understanding and insight progressively to perceive, recognize, and come to know better and more clearly Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, in His Son Jesus Christ, the Messiah. This man is the true God and life eternal. Amen? So you see, it's a progressive thing. You can't cram it overnight. It's a progressive thing as you keep on beholding, as you keep on fellowshipping. That you come today does not mean that you don't have to show up tomorrow. It has to be a progressive thing. And whoever has teachable hearts, God will keep on revealing the more to the person. Let's look at Mark chapter 4, 23 to 25. Mark 4, 23, 25. Let's go. Ready, go. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear and heed my words. 24. Then he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. By your own standard of measurement, that is, to the extent that you study spiritual truths and apply godly wisdom, it will be measured to you. And you will be given even greater ability to respond, and more will be given to you besides. In other words, more and more revelation. If you don't pass step one, how do you expect you're going to go to step two? These are spiritual principles. And that is why you go to everywhere that you can, everywhere that is opened up, like this life center, for you to get an understanding. He said, those that have teachable hearts. He said, to the extent that you study spiritual truths and apply godly wisdom, it will be measured to you. And you will be given even greater ability to respond. Verse 25. Let's go. For whoever has a teachable heart, to him more understanding will be given. Whoever did what? Has a teachable heart. To him more understanding will be given. And whoever does not have a yearning for truth, even what he has will be taken away from him. Amen? He gets confused along the way. Say, oh, somebody else will teach him a different thing. I say, oh, yeah, I think they're right. The person gets confused. So, you see, it's a progressive thing. The Father didn't design that one person will do it. It will be too much for one man, Pastor Chinedu Emmanuel, to do all that. That's why we have these different ministries and we have these different leaders. Like we have the Life Center to help us to break up the job. The Bible said that, you know, where I came, the training of children, you know, children is a family affair. The family members will help you. Everybody will be contributing in helping you to build your children, you know. But I know it's not so much in this country. But, you know, biblically, we are members of one another. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 20 to 21, and then 25 to 27, it says, but now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. There are how many members? Many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Can you imagine, you know, that I'm hungry? And then my head said, why don't you go to the fridge? Remember you kept a bread there. And then my hand says, yes, let me go grab it. I don't need you, my feet. So who is going to carry the hand to go to the fridge? Where is the eye with which the leg is going to sit to walk to the fridge? And then the hand needs to grab it. Okay, if the hand grabs it and the mouth say no, okay, let me see how you are. Yeah, eat it, hand, if you don't need me. If the mouth doesn't open up to allow the thing to get in, and the teeth say, I'm not going to chew, since you say you don't need of me. And then the stomach say, well, since you don't need me, you can't store this thing in me. How is it going to benefit the hand or benefit the eyes? It's not going to work. So you see, we all parts of our body, they work together. And if one part of the body is hurting, the whole body feels it. Praise the Lord. So the members should have the same care for one another, according to verse 25. Then verse 26. Let's read verse 26 together. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. We are members of the body of Christ. the body of Christ, but we have one head. Ephesians chapter 1, 22 to 23 tells us that Jesus Christ is our head. Verse 20, 23 says, okay, let me start from verse 22. And he has put all things under his feet and has appointed him the universal and supreme head of the body, a headship exercised throughout the church. 23, which is his body. Which is his body? That's the church, is the body of Christ, the fullness of him who fills all in all. For in that body lives the full measure of him. Let's say that together. For in that body lives the full measure of him. The full measure of Christ is in the body, who makes everything complete and who fills everything everywhere with himself. As you receive from God, the whole body has to work together. As God teaches us, we walk together. So you see, so in the body lives the full measure of him. That's why we gather together. Your home center should be your first care section, your first care, you know, unit. When you belong to a life center, you know, your first care group should be your life center. So that if anything is happening to you, your center should be able to know that they have to begin to help you. They pray with you. Whatever it takes, they help you, whatever is the situation. Then if it's something that they cannot handle, that's when they now start, you know, getting to the church. So it's not just enough here. You have to belong to a center. Praise the Lord. So, and that's why the Bible told us in Romans chapter 15, verse 2. Romans chapter 15 from verse 1. Let's look at it together. Romans 15, verse 1. Let's read. Ready, go. From verse 1, please. Verse 1. Do we have verse 1 there? Okay, say, we who are strong in our convictions and of robust faith ought to bear with the failings and frailties and the tender scruples of the weak. We ought to help carry the doubts and qualms of others and not to please ourselves. Verse 2. Let each one of us make it a practice to please, make happy his neighbor for his good and for his true welfare, to edify him, to strengthen him, and build him up spiritually. Amen. Let's hold it over there. So you see, if you have robust faith, you understand these things better. Get yourself to the center and be patient with those who still have doubts, those who have not yet grown to your level. You don't have to say, well, the thing that they are discussing, they already know it. If you know it, get there and let every other person there benefit. Help your center. Remember, we say we have need of each other. Let's help each other to grow so that we'll be flourishing that flourishing life that Jesus Christ designed for us. And not leave your brother or your sister behind. Be there. There is something you can do to help each other. He said we ought to help carry the doubts and qualms of others and not to please ourselves. So let each one of us make it a practice. Make out time to be there. Make it a practice to help the other ones to their own benefit. He said to edify him, to strengthen him, and build him up how? Spiritually. So that they will get to know the truth that you know, so that the enemy will not be, you know, tossing them about because of lack of knowledge. Praise the Lord. In other words, don't give him fish, but teach him to fish so that he can go there and get as much as he wants. Praise the Lord. Verse 3, he says, for Christ did not please himself. Let's read it together. For Christ did not please himself, gave no thought to his own interest, but as it is written, the reproaches and abuses of those who reproach and abuse you fell on me. Christ did not please him. He was the Son of God. He was God all by himself. But he left his glory. He could have said, to hell with them. That's what the life that they want to live. But he came down and he suffered so much abuses, just so that he can live in us to live this life of flourishing through us for our own benefit. In the same manner, we are
not to please ourselves. We are to show up to help the others, to carry others along so that we'll all be at par, to help each other to flourish. Whatever it takes, spiritually, financially, materially, we help each other at the centers. Amen? You can think of the Old Testament people, how they were living under the law. Go read the Old Testament, that you will just be thanking God that you are under grace. You just be thanking God for Jesus, that you know Jesus. Praise the Lord. Verse 4 said, "For whatever was thus written in former days was written for our instruction, that by our steadfast and patient endurance and the encouragement drawn from the scriptures, we might hold fast to and cherish hope." When you understand what the Old Testament people went through and where you are today, you will embrace this grace and you will give your time to study this grace and you will give your time to help your brethren who are at your center to also benefit and understand and live this victorious life that God designed for us. So now, may the God who gives the power of patient endurance, steadfastness, and who supplies encouragement grant you to live in such mutual harmony and such full sympathy with one another in accord with Christ Jesus. Do it for their benefit. And God is faithful. He will reward you bountifully. But do it for their benefit if you already know it. If you don't know, you still go there so that you will gain an understanding of this wisdom, the winning wisdom that God gave you. And then verse 7 says, "Welcome and receive to your hearts one another, then even as Christ has welcomed and received you for the glory of God." Welcome and receive to your hearts. Be open to help each other to get there. So no one person knows it all. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, say, "Who makes you?" Say, "For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it?" Who make you deep? Some people understand faster and better. Be there to help the other one. Be patient with them. The Bible said, "A man can receive nothing." In John 3:27. "A man can lay claim to nothing at all unless it has been granted to him from heaven, for there is no other source than the sovereign will of God." Whatever you think you have a better advantage over the others, it's just the grace of God. So make it available for the benefit of all the others. And we know that all good gifts and perfect gifts, they are from our Father. He gave that for your benefit and for the benefit of the others. So look at Paul's advice in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 24 and 33. Let's look at Paul's advice. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 24. Let's read it together. Ready, go. "Let no one seek only his own good, but also that of the other person." Verse 33. "Just as I please everyone in all things, as much as possible, adapting myself to the interests of others, not seeking my own benefit, but that of the many, so that they will be open to the message of salvation and may be saved." Not his own benefit. You know that man, Paul, if you read about him, you will see that that's the true testimony about him. Whatever it is, he was going out for the interest, for the benefit of others. Even when he suffered so much for it, he was beaten, he was shipwrecked. But his goal was that Christ be formed in the lives of the others. And remember, that was also the goal of Jesus Christ. So that's why we are called to deny. It calls for denial of yourself. If you look at Matthew chapter 16, 24 to 25, Matthew 16, 24, 25, he says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone desires to be my disciple, my follower, let him deny himself, disregard, lose sight of, and forget himself and his own interests, and take up his cross and follow me, cleave steadfastly to me, conform wholly to my example in living and, if need be, in dying also.'" Verse 25 says, let's read it together, ready, go. "For whoever is bent on saving his temporal life, his comfort and security here, shall lose it, eternal life. And whoever loses his life, his comfort and security here, for my sake shall find it, life everlasting." You lose your comfort here when you choose to give your time
to fellowship, to understand Jesus better. And also, when you go, even though you already know it, to help the others to also get to know it. It's like you're losing your comfort and security. Others might say, well, put me in. You do extra hours, even when you know it's a life center day, even when you know there's a way you could also help others. But you want to do more so that you can buy a better car, you can buy a better home, you can make yourself more comfortable. The Bible said, is whoever is bent on saving his temporal life is temporal, because it's really a temporal life. It's a very temporal life. I say his comfort and secrecy shall lose it, eternal life. So Christ did not please himself, like we read in that Romans chapter 15, verse 3, for Christ did not please himself. He didn't please himself. So what is eternal life that he's talking about, that he will lose eternal life? John chapter 17, verse 3. Let's read it together. John 17, 3. Ready, go. And this is eternal life. It means to know, to perceive, recognize, become acquainted with, and understand you, the only true and real God, and likewise to know him, Jesus, as the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, whom you have sent. So eternal life is knowing Jesus, knowing God and knowing Jesus. That's eternal life. So you see, when you spend time fellowshipping, you're gaining more and more understanding of Jesus Christ, who he is, of God, and what has been made available to you. And that is what you also help your brethren at the center to understand better and better. You know why this is very important? Because all that pertains to life and godliness has already been given to us in Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible said in 2 Peter chapter 1, 2, and 3. It said, may grace, God's favor and peace, which is perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity and freedom from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts. See, the only way it's multiplied to you is in the knowledge, in the full personal, precise, and current knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That's eternal life. When you get to know God and you get to know Jesus better, grace and peace is multiplied to you. He said, verse 3, for his divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite, suited to life and godliness, but they only come, ready, go, let's read, through the full personal knowledge of him who called us by and to his own glory and excellence virtue. It only comes through the knowledge of God and of Jesus. And that's why you make yourselves available to learn more and more about Jesus, who is your wisdom, who is your life, who is your victory. And, you know, it's like we say that the members should have care one for another. So that if one member is weak, like, you know, in a battlefield, sometimes somebody gets hit by a bullet. What do? You get that person treated, you help that person, but the rest keep on firing on. You get to care for each other so that everybody will be standing. That's what we do. The Bible said that iron sharpened iron. You know, let's look at Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. Let's read it together. Proverbs 27, 17. Ready, go. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens and influences another through what? Discussion. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens and influences another through discussion. As you hold discussions together at the centers, you find out that each person gets sharpened, gets better understanding. Each person is flourishing. Each person is living a fulfilled life because they get to know how to navigate through this life successfully, go in godly way, and get all the benefits that the Father has designed for them. We are designed to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And he say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Matthew chapter 5, 14, 15 says that we are called as the light of the world. You are the light at your center. You are the light. Verse 15 says, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Your life is supposed to be a beacon of light to those that are in the house, to help them,
to sharpen them the more, to help them to live a more successful Christian life. So like Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 14, let the love of Christ compel us to do this. Not that they are doing everything perfectly and they are pleasing us, but let the love of Christ compel us. The Bible said in that 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, that he died for all, so that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Let the love of Christ compel us to do so, to help to be there for each other. And the more reason we should be there for each other is because, like the Bible said, the whole world lies in darkness. Let's look at 1 John chapter 5, 18, 19, and 21. Let's read it together. 1 John chapter 5, 18, 19, 21. Ready, go. We know absolutely that anyone born of God does not deliberately and knowingly practice committing sin, but the one who was begotten of God carefully watches over and protects him. Christ's divine presence within him preserved him against the evil and the wicked one, not lay hold or get grip on him or touch him. The Spirit of Christ in him preserves him. But he needs to understand this, and there's a power in him. The Bible says we can do all things through Christ who infuses the inner strength. You know, but we all need that understanding. It's not everybody that have that understanding. Then verse 19. We know positively that we are of God, and the whole world around us is under the power of the evil one. The whole world around us is under the power of the evil one. And, you know, a lot of things are being dished out today that even the believers are getting so influenced by that. But it shouldn't be so. It's because a lot of them are shallow Christians. They don't have the understanding of the scripture. Because when you have an understanding of the scripture, you will know that the Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate. But they need an understanding. So we patiently make ourselves available and be there to help each other. Verse 21, let's read. Little children, keep yourselves from idols, false gods, from anything and everything that would occupy the place in your heart due to God, from any sort of substitute for God that would take first place in your life. Amen. So let it be. There are so many things that are as idol in the lives of even the believers. They could be legitimate things, but they take the place of God in your life, that you give those things your priority time. You give those things your energy and time. And I remember, you know, one time I went to work and then they thought I was sleeping. That was when I was doing substitute teaching. And they called me, the principal called me and said, you have spent the good part of you doing your own stuff. And now you come and you want us to pay you when you're sleeping. You are not doing the job. But I wasn't really sleeping. I was reading something, but I put it under my laps. So you see, even the world know that you don't have to spend your tired place coming to work for them. They want you to bring your lively, you know, person. So those things that are idle, you know, when we begin to teach people, they get a better understanding. And more especially, since the Bible says that evil corrupts good manners. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Let's read it together, 33 and then 34. Ready, go. Do not be deceived and misled. Evil companionship, communication, associations corrupt and deprave good manners and morals and character. Awake from your drunken stupor and return to sober sense and your right minds, and sin no more. Verse 34. For some of you have not the knowledge of God. You are utterly and willfully and disgracefully ignorant and continue to be so, lacking the sense of God's presence and all true knowledge of him. Evil companionship will always corrupt. I don't know why it is not the good that corrupts the bad. It is the bad that corrupts the good. And there's so much bad out there. So we get each other to be sensitive to the voice of the Father. The Bible said in Colossians chapter 2, it said, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounded nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. People do what they do based on their belief system. And their belief system is based on what they have been focusing on, what they have been reading, what they have exposed themselves to. You know? So, we are to help each other. That's why God said in Hebrew, you know, in Romans chapter 12, verses, come, let me change the way you think, so that you think like I think, so that you will excel. Your life will be beautiful. And this is why we encourage each other to come to the center, to come to Bible study, to come to church, to come for Sunday school, to fellowship, to grow, so that you get an understanding, so you make sure that your belief system is biblically based, as in accordance with the gospel of grace, so that you will live this sweet life that the Father has designed for you. He said, not forsaking our meeting together, in Hebrew 10:25, as believers for worship and instruction, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and the more faithfully as you see the day of Christ's return approaching. So we come together so that we can help each other and change the way we think, so that we think the way God thinks, so that, because the way God thinks is the wisdom of God. That's Jesus, our wisdom. Jesus, our life. Jesus, our all in all. Praise the Lord. I remember the June topic. It was what's on your mind. And we were talking about the fact that what you focus on will always shape your life. He said our behavior is an outward expression of our inner self. So consciously or unconsciously, what you are watching, what you're focusing on, is actually penetrating in you. And that's why God, study my word, meditate on my word. And he said those things will so shape your life that you are just who you focus on. And people spend so much time on some of these things that will not bring out the life and the victory that Jesus Christ died to give them. And my grandchildren, they ask us a lot of questions at our center. I say, oh, you know, we talked about Harry Potter, how a lot of children at school, they get them to watch those things and so many other things. And they ask, does that mean that those things are not good? We say, well, those things are influencing you. They are affecting your life. And we talked so many things. Because of time, I won't go into that. But these children, by the time we came to the next life center, they rushed the grandma. See, we changed all those things. Look, we've been listening to this, and they were just quoting so many scriptures and so many songs. I say, wow, you're going to give a testimony today. But to God be all the glory, they are coming back from somewhere, so they are not able to be here to join us to give that testimony. But, you know, see how that discussion at the center just changed their thinking. They now understood that the things that, and you know, the nightmares that some of them have been having, those things, they stopped. Simply because they allow God to change the way they think by refocusing themselves on the proper things. Praise the Lord. So when we gather together, we help each other to be sensitive to the voice of the Father. So that, you know, like he said, my sheep hear my voice, then they follow my voice. The voice of a stranger, they will not follow. If you are not familiar with the voice of the Father, then even when he speaks, you won't know. Or even when the stranger speaks, because you're more familiar with the voice of a stranger, you follow because maybe you think that that's the popular thing. But as we fellowship together, we help each other to get so familiar with the voice of the Father that we follow the voice of the Father and we keep on flourishing. Amen? The Bible said that the sheep comes but to steal. It will steal, it will kill, and will destroy. And the way he says it, making you see and watch things that you think is normal. There's nothing bad in it. But before you know it, it's giving you a different information other than the information from your headquarters, your home base. And yet you are a foreigner here. You are not a citizen here. You are a foreigner in this world. You are a citizen of heaven. You need to be getting your instructions from heaven. And God told us to, he said, let all that we do be done with love. You do it because of the love of Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 14. And he said in verse 22, if anyone does not love the Lord Jesus, let him be accursed. But if you love the Lord Jesus, the Bible said, if you love Jesus and you love God, then if you don't love your neighbor enough for his own benefit, the love of the Father is not in you. 1 John chapter 4, let's look at that. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, it says, we love because he first loved us.
Verse 20, let's read it together, ready, go. If anyone says, I love God and hates, works against his Christian brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. If you can't love your brother enough to be there for your brother, to help your brother to come up higher, you can't love God that you have not seen. Verse 21, let's read. And this commandment we have from him, ready, go. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should also unselfishly love his brother and seek the best for him. You love your brother and seek the best for your brother when you show up at the Life Center. So let's love the brethren. Let's honor the brethren by showing up and being such a help. You know, we used to sing this song, Jesus in me loves the Jesus in you. Jesus in me loves the Jesus in you. You're my brother, you're my sister, you're easy to love. The reason you're easy to love is because I love the Jesus that is in you. And because I love the Jesus in you, I love you too. And I have to show up to help you, whatever it will take. And I, like I said, that God is a faithful rewarder. As we gather together and having our roots deep down in him, so that we'll be able to know his voice and follow him and go with the winning wisdom, the wisdom of God that is embedded in the word of God as we rub minds together. I want us to pray this prayer for ourselves, and that is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 11 to 12. Let's open to it. We'll read it together. And we're going to pray that prayer for ourselves. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 11 to 12. Can we have that on the screen, please? Okay, ready, go. Therefore, we also pray always for you. It's not what you have. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 11 to 12. Okay, let me just read it here. Okay, let's go. Ready, go. Therefore, we also pray always for you, that our God will count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Let's read it again. Therefore, we also pray for you. Let's say this. Therefore, I also pray for myself that our God will count me worthy of this calling and fulfill the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Verse 12. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in me and I in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we all rise up? Let's begin to pray.